It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
Welcome into Coordinator's Corner here on your 24/7 home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Adam Crowley here with you. Going to be joined by Missy Matthews and Bob Labriola here in this program, talking to each of the Steelers coordinators. And we'll start off with Steelers defensive coordinator Keith Butler. The defensive turnaround over the last six games has been tremendous, and maybe the biggest reason for the Steelers being a playoff team right now. Their performance over the six-game winning streak has been nothing short of remarkable. Here's what Keith Butler had to say about that game against the Baltimore Ravens and what has happened recently with this Pittsburgh Steelers D.
All right, Coach Butler, let's talk about how merry your Christmas was. Tell me about that last play as you guys are watching Ben in the offense against the Ravens on Sunday.
Oh, it was that was fun. That drive was fun, and you know we've seen Ben do that a lot of times. You know, he's calling the plays out there, and he's comfortable with what he's doing. Finding receivers, our guys did a good job of getting open. AB made just a great play, really a great play. I mean, sticking the ball out over there, and knew that he had to get it done at that point in time. I mean, you know, we've seen it so many times, going against him down in the red zone. We call it seven shots. You know, we've seen that route so many times and him catch it, and it's hard to stop him from catching that route. And then they had about two or three guys on him. He sticks his hand over for the touchdown. His awareness was great. I mean, he's a smart football player, did a great job, was very proud of him for doing it. I mean, it was a wonderful time compared to the time they scored on us. You know, we didn't want them to score on us. They went all the way down the field. We had the opportunities three or four times to stop them on third down, and we couldn't get them out. And that's the thing we got to do. We got to be able to get them out, and hopefully it doesn't come down to that. Great to see and I'm sure the fans liked it and had heart attacks too and all that stuff, but it's not something I would like. I'd like for us to stop it and make sure that, you know, it's 24-20.
Coach Tomlin did say in his press conference on Tuesday, though, the way the units work together, you know, the offense wasn't able to get points on the board, the defense was doing their job.
Right.
Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, we were in field position, that wasn't great a couple of times. I mean, they had two interceptions. They scored a touchdown on one. They the other one they got 3 points on. You know, when they get turnovers like that, we got to make sure they go up by threes and not go up by sevens. Their kicker was a great kicker. I mean, they get it on that side of the 50, side of the 50. They're more than likely going to get points, but at the same time, we've got to make sure that they don't get 7 points. It's only 3 points. So, you know, and, you know, we kicked the ball out of bounds a couple of times and started at the 40. We're going to get that type of turmoil, and we got to respond to it better than we did on a couple occasions in the first half. I would like to see us make sure they go up by threes and not score touchdowns.
What's the biggest thing you're disappointed with? Tackling, I would assume?
Some of it was tackling, and some of it was just, you know, being in the right position. We had opportunities to make plays, and we didn't. And you got to make the layups. When you're in position to make layups, we got to make layups. And if we do that, then we've made some, you know, what Coach Tomlin calls splash plays. Just do your job. If you just do your job, splash plays are going to happen, and we had the opportunity to do that a couple times and didn't do it.
The two sacks, how big were they?
They were big, especially during the game. You try to get Flacco's a good quarterback. I mean, he knows us and knows what we're going to be in and stuff like that, and he's got an idea. But it's always good to kind of fool him a little bit, make him hold the ball, and then get after him a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to have sacks, and everybody we play, we got to let them know that we can get to them, and that's something else for the quarterback to think about. So we've got to be able to do that.
Johnny Maxey gets promoted to the 53-man roster on Saturday.
Right.
Dresses on Sunday.
Right.
And we see a lot of him. Were you impressed with what he was able to do, or did you know he had that in him?
Well, we knew going into the game that we're going to need him, you know, because we had a lot of guys injured and stuff like that. He works hard. Mitch likes the kid because the kid does work hard. He's very conscientious about what he's doing and where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, that type of thing. So it's always good for those young guys to come in and help us.
Coach talked during his press conference just about practice squad guys and how you're right. part of the team. You're not, you know, just a tackling dummy right. or just part of the scout team. Right. Do you get that sense as well in terms of the guys buying into that?
Well, they have to. They have no choice in doing it because, you know, they're in all our meetings. They hear the same thing everybody else is hearing. They've got to keep up with it. They just don't get the reps at doing it. You know, that's the difference for them. They're usually doing reps for the other defense, you know, against our offense and stuff like that. So they've got to pay attention in the meetings, what their individual coaches are saying in the meetings. I always told my guys when I had the linebackers, I always told them, I'm not just talking to Lawrence. I'm talking to all the inside linebackers. I'm not talking just to James Harrison. I'm talking to all the outside linebackers. When I'm correcting them, I'm correcting everybody in the room. So they have to do that, and it's easier when you're involved and you're out there running the plays than when you're not. You tend to lose focus sometimes and not listen to what's going on, and those guys have done a good job of listening to what's going on around them.
You brought up Debo. He led the team with 11 tackles. I think mm-hmm. 9 of them were solo. He had a tackle for loss.
Right.
Is he getting better the more that he's playing?
He's doing the old Debo stuff that he's done for a long time. You know, he missed some defenses that we felt like he should have had. But he did that in Super Bowl 43 and intercepted a pass and ran it for a touchdown, too. So, you know, we want him to make sure he cuts down in his mental mistakes a little bit. But most of the time he's in the right place, and he's very hard to deal with because he's built low to the ground and he's very strong. You know, he plays with great leverage. So, yeah, he's helped us as he's come back.
You guys know with a game left, you're in the playoffs.
Right.
You're going to be a number three
right.
seed. You don't know the opponent yet. How do you approach this week as you get ready to face the Browns for the regular season?
I think you try to stay in rhythm as a team. You got to stay in rhythm. I mean, you know, we'll see how the game goes and stuff like that. When we play them here, we for sure are going to try to win the game. We're not out there just to – you know, play the game. We're out there to win the game. We want to, you know, make our record 11-5 as best we can, and then, you know, make sure we get through the game and win the game, and look forward to next week or week after next.
As you're getting ready to face the Browns, as you said, you're focusing on getting the
right.
win. But are you tempted to start looking at the other teams that you know you could potentially face?
I haven't looked at a drop of film of Miami or Kansas City or whoever we may be playing. You know, so I haven't looked at a bit of film of them. I've looked at only film I've looked at is the Browns. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You know, a lot of people say, who are we going to play here? We're going to play here. We don't know who we're going to play. The only thing we can do is prepare for the Browns. Cleveland Browns, they're the next one up. We got to prepare for them, and hopefully we get a win there and then come into, you know, the playoff game, you know, with how many in a row? Would that be seven?
Have six
yeah,
right now, so
right.
a win over the Browns would make seven.
We need to keep that rhythm, you know. We got to keep that rhythm of being seven in a row, so we go into playoffs with a good attitude, I think.
Do you, as a defensive coordinator with so many young guys on defense, do you have to talk to them a little bit about making a playoff run, being in the playoffs, or do you leave the veteran guys? Or
well,
do you
the,
not
veteran,
say anything?
The veteran guys do a lot of it. I say something about it, too. I always talk about this last part of the season because it really is. We were in a situation last week where we had to win the division, and we mm-hmm. did. You know, we got behind – came back up, went ahead of them, then got behind again and came back up and went ahead of them and won the game. You know, so those games, that's the type of games you're going to be playing from here on out. I mean, especially in the playoffs. The intensity level has to go up. Even the last four or five games in the season, the intensity level's got to go up because if it doesn't, you won't be prepared for the playoffs. In the playoffs, the intensity level is definitely up a little bit more.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Good luck against the Browns. Hopefully, like you said, 7-game win streak heading into the wild card round.
Yes.
That's Keith Butler and Missy Matthews. Up next, Bob Labriola with Danny Smith.
For some, football is a hobby. For Tuncheokin and Craig Wolfley, football is a lifestyle.
And the Steelers and the crowd are celebrating. celebrating.
Get behind the walls of the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex and into the locker room with Tunch and Wolf for the best analysis that this town has to offer. Weekdays from 10 to 2, Tunch and Wolf give you a unique perspective that only two former Steelers can provide as they break down last week's game and look ahead to the next Steelers foe. SNR, available on the iHeartRadio app. It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
Coordinator's Corner right here on SNR. Adam Crowley with you. Now going to be joined by Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Steelers Special Teams Coordinator Danny Smith as well. And there were some moments in that game where the special teams kind of left you scratching your head. But they wound up getting it done and winning the division. Here is Steelers Special Teams Coordinator Danny Smith with Bob Labriola.
What does that mean, winning a division championship? I mean, around here, it's not the ultimate goal. It's all about those trophies down the hall there. But, you know, winning a division, it's an accomplishment too, isn't it, along the way?
It's a great accomplishment. It really is, you know, for the players and everybody involved in the entire organization. But like you say, it's just the first step in this process. It makes it, gets us a home game for our fans, which is awesome because they're awesome. And, it just feels good to be called a champion.
You know, I got to be honest with you. You mentioned the fans and how awesome they were. I was surprised. There were 66,000. I think it was 66,726 was the attendance. And I know Dan Rooney, he only wants to announce the turnstile count. So that's how many people were in that building. For Christmas Day, to me, I mean, that's pretty impressive, and those people were into it.
It just goes to show you, the power of these fans and, the passion that they have. I've been on other teams. I've been in other organizations, so I have some experience in other places. When you mention Christmas Day, it's Steeler Day, man. It don't matter when it falls. When the Steelers are playing, man, it don't matter Christmas, New Year's, Halloween, Thanksgiving, regular Sunday, it don't matter. These fans are passionate. These fans are special. It's very important to these fans in this community, in this city, and it's proud to be a part of.
I want to talk about something that happened in the Ravens game. When a team is on offense, and if the defense jumps off sides, they'll sometimes call unabated to the quarterback. They blow the whistle so nobody gets hurt. Shouldn't they have that for the kicker?
Well, they really should, and it's sort of a play that we're going to have to take a look at, in the postseason. It obviously happened also in the Buffalo-Seattle game a few weeks back that I saw on film. And, it's something that we're going to have to address, as far as what the penalty is, when the whistle should blow, those kind of things, because it's taking advantage of a situation, and it's really not fair.
Yeah, because there can be, depending on where the guy comes from, the holder has his back to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could do it over and over and over and over and over. That's
yeah,
the bad
right.
part about it, kind of thing. So, well, like I say, the rules committee, the competition committee, I'm sure we'll take a look at those kind of things. When we talk about player safety, and as soon as you bring that up, people will listen, and I'm all for it in that situation. So it's going to have to be something that's going to be addressed.
Something else from the Ravens game. On the list of things that send you reaching for the bottle of antacids, where does kickoffs out of bounds rank?
Well, there's no excuse for it, there's nobody that hurt more by it than Chris Boswell. Monday morning, Bos was in my office early in the morning, shut the door, and he said, let's take a look at those kickoffs. And when you're coaching a guy like that, how important it is to him and what it means to him and what he means to, again, this city and what it means to his teammates, it's special when a guy does like that. And, we found a little bit of a flaw, in a certain kick. And, we corrected it on the video. He and I will, carry it through and carry it out in practice. But, you don't want to get a ball on a 40-yard line in any situation to anybody. And, we covered pretty good in the, course of the game and had a tackle inside the 20 and expected more. And it gives an opportunity to do it. If you see the reaction of the cover team, it just upsets a lot of people because that's how they get paid. That's how they make their money. That's their job, is in coverage. And we got a team that likes to cover. So, it's not a good situation, and you can't put the defense in that situation.
Talk a little bit about the progress Jordan Berry has made. I mean, he came here, he had a tryout, if I remember correctly, a tryout for rookie minicamp,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
for that.
Yes.
Okay, now this guy's he's your punter. You know, he ranks, you know, statistically among the NFL's better punters. Yeah. Just talk about what you remember when you saw him that first time and what he is now.
You know, Danny Colbert and I were outside, and he came in for a workout. And Danny Colbert actually came to get me and to take a look at this kid, and he was as raw as could be. But the foot, I mean, the ball was exploding off his foot. His extension, you know, his explosion, his flexibility were outstanding. So, you know, that's how it originally started. He needed to perfect a lot of things, and that's a long process. And you don't have time, you know, for those things. I mean, we got to punt the ball. You got to punt the ball well. We can't wait while he becomes good. So, I mean, he's a tireless worker. He's a great kid. You know, we smoothed out some things, so to speak, you know, in his approach. And I don't think he's reached his ceiling yet. You know, some of the things that I've seen him do and, you know, are special. And you got to be consistent with those things. And that's the next step in this process, you know, the consistency. And that's a measure of a true pro. Can they do it over and over again on a consistent basis? And I think that's where we're headed with him. He's a fun guy to be around. He's an excellent worker. He's a competitive person. He's really matured as a person. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. You got a kid coming from another country. People don't even notice. He didn't have a driver's license or nothing. He's riding his bicycle over here in the winter. The rookies have to pick up sandwiches and stuff on Fridays. He got sandwiches on his bicycle coming in here in December and January a year ago. Never an excuse, never an issue, never how am I going to do this. I mean, he's just a guy that flat out got it done, and it tells you a lot about him as a person and you know, what his family had done in preparation for this. So he deserved the opportunity, and he's making the most of it.
Was it the sound the ball was making off his foot?
It exploded. It really was. I mean, it exploded. Danny Colbert and I looked at each other like, man, let's get away. You know, we thought this was going to be some kid from Australia, and let's give him a few minutes and get out of here. And we stayed a long time that day because of what we thought were his capabilities.
I know you got a game against the Browns coming up this Sunday, and Mike Tomlin has said that you're going to play to win. That's the way it's always been done around here. Can you use the game, though, for anything else as you're trying to win it? I mean, is there anything that you're going to, like, I don't know, a secondary purpose?
Lab, to be honest with you, I don't stray much. I mean, if they're keeping score, we're playing to win. And it's as simple as that. You know, you got a competitive atmosphere, you know, when you're dealing with pro athletes. You really do. And there's a lot of comments and a lot of things about this don't mean this, that. And I think they generally come from people that haven't been involved in it. You know, these are competitive people. And when you put them in competitive situations, man, it's difficult. It's not a slow-down process. So anytime they're keeping score, we're playing to win, and that's what we'll do on Sunday for sure.
Will you look at anybody? I mean – Give people some opportunities.
This ain't a time, I say, you know, I mean, really to stray from those kind of things. You know, I mean, I worry about them guys, you know, in the future. I'm trying to win a football game in preparation for, you know, a playoff run. And I know I'm not a pull-off, hold-back kind of guy. And this organization isn't a pull-off, hold-back kind of organization. And, again, I'm just proud to be a part of it. And that's how we approach things. So we are definitely playing to win, which is exactly what the head coach, you know, portrays. And that's what he portrays to this football team.
That's Danny Smith along with Bob Labriola. When we come back, more Labs, but with Todd Haley, the Steelers offensive coordinator. Don't go anywhere. It is Coordinator's Corner right here on SNR.
For some, football is a hobby. For Tunch Ilkin and Craig Wolfley, football is a lifestyle.
And the Steelers and the crowd are celebrating.
Get behind the walls of the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex and into the locker room with Tunch and Wolf for the best analysis that this town has to offer. Weekdays from 10 to 2, Tunch and Wolf give you a unique perspective that only two former Steelers can provide as they break down last week's game and look ahead to the next Steelers foe. SNR, available on the iHeartRadio app. It's time for Coordinator's Corner, only on your 24/7 audio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, SNR. Now, here's Adam Crowley.
It is Coordinator's Corner here on SNR. We've heard from Danny Smith. We've heard from Keith Butler. Now it's Bob Labriola with Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Coach, what's it mean to win the division?
It means a lot, you know, to us as coaches. It's really what it's all about. It obviously guarantees you a ticket to the playoffs, and that's really what we're interested in. But to have that North title, we take that with great respect.
Can you, you know, use that as a in any way? You have a lot of young guys, you know, with a veteran team maybe that has been to or won a Super Bowl. Winning the division is just a step along the way. But with some, a lot of these new guys, these young guys, I don't know, is it see what if you work hard, see what you can achieve?
We're pretty single-minded around here, you know, and the goal is to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. And that is a step in the direction that we're trying to go. But, you know, young guys are not you know, we're about trying to continue to improve, understand the regular season's a process, and the teams that are usually getting better each and every week are the teams that then have a chance. So, you know, that's our mindset. We got to continue to just keep improving as a group, and that counts some young guys that had a lot to do with helping us win.
Going back to the Ravens win, that fourth quarter offensively, is that about as good as it gets?
Yeah, that's hard to beat, and again, a testament to the guys not getting down, not stopping, believing that we could get it done. And but to have, you know, I think the first possession with 14 minutes, we're down 10 points. The next possession, there's 10 minutes or something, we're down 3 points. The next possession, there's a minute 18, and we're down 3 points. So. I think it was just a great job of the guys sticking together, not panicking, not a lot different than the week before.
When you're involved in that, are you just like 1 foot in front of the other, or are you looking down at the path a little bit in terms of, you know, you have more to get done than just this particular possession?
Yeah, we knew we the time was of the essence, that we had to score points most importantly, but. You know, just reminders to guys, you know, especially receivers, they're the ones that have to do the most running to get back, get set, understand that there had to be a great sense of urgency, and I thought everybody did a tremendous job.
Last week we talked a lot about how tough the Ravens defense is to run against. You ran the ball great. What was working?
I think, again, our guys up front have continued to just get better and gel together, and I believe they're the best group. I know some other groups get a little more hype, but this group really has been tremendous, including Hub, including the tight ends, including the back, Le'Veon, obviously. But, to go out there and Suggs have zero on the stat sheet at the end of a game, and he's a great player. And he's in there a bunch, just kind of gave you a picture of how well those guys up front played.
And no sacks.
And no sacks.
Yeah, Ben has been in this league, 13 years? I looked it up. There were two previous times in all the games Steelers-Ravens have played since 2004 where Ben was not sacked. And you were doing it Sunday with not your all the veteran receivers either. And that's a big part of it too, isn't it?
Yeah, like I said, those young guys, we've continued to push hard to step up and do their job, and they were going to be expected to make plays for us. Eli made a couple huge plays for us. D.A. getting in there and making a couple catches, but more importantly, had a couple big blocks for us. Kobe Hamilton, a big catch. The tight ends, Xavier, obviously a huge play on the first drive. Jesse James got the crowd going, jumping over people and stuff, and did a great job in the run and pass game. But, to go sack free against that group, especially being behind and with their ears pinned back again, I just think is a testament to those guys up front and how well they're playing.
What turned out to be the game-winning play, the pass to A.B., is that designed to get him the ball in front of the goal line, or did circumstances dictate – that he ran the route more shallow or what happened?
Yeah, it's a switch release between he and Eli, and he has to come right down the inside of the goal line like he did. And the way that it played out, he was the one that got the ball, and the rest is history. But just a tremendous individual play. You know, a great throw to get it to him around Suggs jumping, in Ben's face, and then just a phenomenal individual play by A.B.
You coached wide receivers. I mean, that what did that play by A.B. to get the ball into the end zone? Like, if you were going to show that to a bunch of young wide receivers, what are some of the things you would pick out and say, you know, this is how it's supposed to be done?
I think just his overall awareness, number one, and knowing where he was, knowing the situation, and that's something that gets taken for granted with AB. He has a great feel for the game, really tremendous feel, you know, that benefits him a bunch when running routes, obviously, but also showed up there. And I just think in general, you know, you saw him throughout the game, the run after catch. You know, if he had a choice to go out of bounds or stay in and get a couple extra, he was putting his head down and going. You know, he just wasn't going to be denied. And the big thing there is just awareness and understanding the rules, and that all you got to do is get it across the line. And I thought Ramon made a great hit on him.
The opening kickoff, you took it and you went right down the field and scored. And then it was largely nothing until the fourth quarter, just one field goal. What was going on in the meantime?
Just a lot of self-inflicted wounds. You know, which has kind of been an area that we're continuing to try to improve and make less of those. But, you know, penalties at the wrong time, you know, AB's offensive pass interference, which probably wasn't needed, you know, brought back a 68-yard play on the second possession, a penalty on third down two times. Obviously the interceptions, you know, are ones we'd like to have back, and that fell on everybody's shoulders, not just Ben, coaches included. So, you know, when we don't stop ourselves, you know, we can do some great things. And I think that was evident on the first drive. It was evident in the last quarter, but in between it was a little bit of, hurting ourselves.
On Tuesday, Mike Tomlin said his plan is to rest Ben, Le'Veon, AB, and most likely Marquise Pouncey. Is this an opportunity for you to get Landry a lot of in-game reps in case you might need him in the immediate future?
I'm not looking at it as an opportunity for that. I'm looking at it as a, you know, he got to get us a W. You know, we've been on a nice roll here. We break it down in quarters. We got a chance to finish 4-0 in this quarter, and that's a big goal and one that we want to accomplish. So Landry's in there to win. You know, that being said, I thought his last time out against New England, you know, we reviewed that tape obviously as a group, and it was, there was so much more meat on the bone in that game. Some things that he could easily do a lot better. Guys around him can do a lot better. So really we just are going to continue doing what we've been doing, which is working to get better, continue to integrate these young guys, you know, and now this week it just happens that Landry's at the controls, and I would expect him to come out and do a great job.
Good luck Sunday.
Thank you.
That's Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley with Bob Labriola, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of Coordinator's Corner. Thanks so much to Labs and Todd Haley. Of course, thank you very much to Missy Matthews, Keith Butler, and Danny Smith as well. We'll do it again next week. It'll be a playoff version of Coordinator's Corner right here on your 24/7 home of the Steelers, SNR. 7 home of the Steelers, SNR. 7 home of the Steelers, SNR. 7 home of the Steelers.